The new Samsung Galaxy Z Flip 5 and Chromebook are better together. Take hands-free selfies which automatically sync to your Chromebook, ready to edit, and access recent Chrome tabs across both devices. The new Galaxy Z Flip 5 and Chromebook, better together. Available on Sky Mobile. Bluetooth and internet connection required. You must be signed into the same Google account on both your phone and Chromebook.
Let me bang.
Greetings, nerds and virgins.
Go for Jesus! No, for gay Jesus, people!
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfucker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time once again for your favorite mixed martial arts podcast. Recording out of Los Angeles, California, it's MMA Roasted with Adam Hunter.
Who the fuck is that guy?
What's up, people? Welcome to brand new MMA Roasted podcast. I'm here with Bill Dawes. We got Don Fry joining us pretty soon, as well as Jamal Emmers coming off a huge win, and Phil Hawes, who's amazingly talented UFC star. So we got a good lineup, really good lineup. Bill hit me up last week to help him with a project. They hired you to be the face of soccer.
So apparently there's a thing the NFL does where you schedule release videos. I've never heard of schedule release videos. Do you know what this is?
No.
Like, think how big the NFL is. They used to have like draft day was such a huge media event. And then was like the combine. And now like schedule release videos are viral, where a team will like just show their schedule in different ways. Like they had one with Peyton Manning doing like a parody of The Office.
Right.
It's very weird. So they hired me to be like an Ari Gold type of character.
How did you get hired for that? You auditioned for that, or they just hired you?
No, it was like through a connection. I think obviously somebody fell out, which is how I get most of my jobs.
Right.
Somebody falls out, they're like, oh, God damn it. And this woman knew me, so they called me in, and nobody there knew anything what they were doing. It was just, it's all.
Yeah, you sent me like this like 15 page pitch deck. I don't even know what language this is. And then I'm up till like 4 a.m. writing jokes for you, right? Like, and I thought I had some pretty good ones. And because I call you
up. Yeah, you did.
I'm like, what's the, I go, you know, what are the, could you say anything? What are the boundaries? Because I figured some of them were too edgy. You'd be like, nah, man, I'll just go for it. So I send you like 100 jokes, and then you're like, yeah, I used one joke. And then I felt like a complete.
I tried a couple and they were like, we'll put that in the B-roll just for you. Like a few of the jokes. But like I made a joke about the Portland team being hipsters, and they were okay with that. But that's about as edgy as they got, you know?
I figured that, but it was like also, so basically I got there was like 100 teams. And the LA Galaxy, which is who you were working for, their record was like 4-100 last year. So, and you wanted me to like shit talk the other teams. I'm like, this team is
like
the worst
in last
team.
Place.
Yeah, they're in last place. And then I don't even understand soccer. Some cities have like 4 teams. They won this thing, but they lost this, but they won that. So now I'm like trying to, I'm looking up like funny soccer terms because I don't even know what the terms are, and I'm not sure even. Then I didn't realize that you could play for different teams. If you're one player, that you could play for like 6 different teams if you want. And it was just crazy. Like, I learned a lot about soccer through that. And then I sent them all to you. And then when you told me they didn't use any of them, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, but
soccer is kind of like comedy. At the end of the day, like, you need a star to be on the team for anyone to show up.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like when Beckham played for LA Galaxy, it was sold out.
Right.
Now there's nobody there, you know.
No, they're terrible. They're the worst team in the league. And and then I'm supposed to make fun of other teams. So I'm like, well, we lost to all these teams. So but anyway, meanwhile, that night I had a show. I've been going crazy. I had a show that night when I was on the way over there. Where was it? It was like in Victorville.
Yeah, you were driving to Victorville, you told me.
And this couple that saw me on a cruise ship was like an older hippie couple, right? And you think that these people are quasi-normal? So I'm making fun of them. And then afterwards, a lady comes up to me and she's like, hey, I'm a wrestler. That's cool that you coach wrestling. I'm like, oh, cool. She's like, yeah, I have a ring in my backyard. I'm like, okay, that's. And then I go, she's like, want to see some pictures? I'm like, sure.
Oh, no.
She's sitting on men, butt naked. She's like a fetish wrestler. And the pictures are like, this woman's in her 60s.
Oh, my God. She's
like, I like younger men. I'm like, well, that's pretty much everybody. You know, like, I'm just. And people pay her to just sit on them naked and put them in crazy holes and just like mush her boobs. And I'm trying to figure out what year these pictures were from, because some of them like were like Polaroids, you know, like she had like a website. Dude, so that was.
She sent you an 8-track video.
Dude, it was, I'm like, this is like, it's always, it's crazy. Like there was one time I did a show one time and there was like one normal looking guy and everyone tried to make this person laugh. At the end of the show, the guy comes up to me. He's like, yo, man, you know, you're really funny. I'm like, oh, thanks. He's like, yeah, I just got out of jail and I was in a white supremacist gang, and shows me his Nazi signs on his chest. And I'm like, this is who we all wanted to make laugh. The guy literally had a swastika. He's like, yo, but I'm not racist. I needed to join a gang. I was like, okay, dude, like this. And this is.
Did he know you were Jewish?
Yeah, of course. And of course, and all. Yeah, but I think he was also an Ultimate Fighter, not in the UFC, but like a, you know, King of the Cage kind of guy. And he was a nice enough guy, not including the, you know, anti-Semitism, racism, white supremacist thing. But man, so I did that. Then I did Gutfeld on Tuesday again.
You did it again. That's awesome.
Those people are so nice, by the way. Greg is just, I was on with
Tyler. Yeah, I used to know Greg back in the day in New York.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys friends or?
We were kind of friends. Like I'd see him, I'd be like, hey man, what's up? I'd stop and talk to him.
Yeah, no, a really nice guy. I was on with Tyrus, Kat, and Kaylee McEnany, who used to be like the White House press secretary. So I take a picture with Kaylee and Tyrus, and I put it up. Dude, I've never unfriended more people in my life.
Holy shit, really?
Quickly. Like, people were like, love her, she's great, blah, blah. Other people were like, some comics were like, oh, I would never go on a show like that, but hey, you do you. I'm like, dude, you were never asked to go on that show.
Yeah, exactly.
I've seen your act. I don't think you're going on any shows. but like, why would you put that under that picture? Like, just people just, someone's like, oh, you're friends with Nazi. I'm like, okay, done.
Or Cyrus is a Nazi? Is that Cyrus, what I'm?
Yeah.
Cyrus is a, no, he's a big, giant black guy who I think is actually pretty, like, down the middle, isn't he?
Completely down the middle. And so is Kat, libertarian. And Gutfeld used to work for the Washington Post. And the girl Kaylee used to work for CNN. So here's a girl that, she's 35 years old. She went to Georgetown, Harvard Law, and Oxford. Her undergrad was Oxford. And then was the White House press secretary at 33 years old. Like, and she's got, that's her husband plays for the Mets, or played for the Mets. She got two kids.
Yeah.
She was beyond sweet, like so nice. But yeah, people are just like mad.
But she's evil. She's the devil.
Yeah, she's the devil. It's like, fuck off, dude. I mean,
you know, here's a great thing I heard about the difference with Democrats and Republicans, the way they look at each other. Republicans look at Democrats as people with bad ideas. Democrats look at Republicans as bad people with ideas. I think that's the biggest difference.
It's crazy. I had a comics reach out, just called me up on the phone. We had a nice conversation, but he was like, are you voting for Trump? I'm like, no. It's like, but he was, and I was telling him, I'm like, bro, like I have a family. I have a family in Los Angeles. I can't leave somebody drove into my house, literally drove into my house.
They
didn't find the person. They had four different police people work on it. I found the guy in 6 minutes. I go to the park. There's crackheads, people shooting heroin at the park with my kid. There's tents everywhere. I go to a CBS, people are just taking stuff and running out. You know, the public schools near me are at 17 percentile, 18 percentile, math and reading. Like, Republicans are the ones that for charter schools. You know, like this stuff directly affects me. Obviously, I have a lot more stuff, you know, politically wise, but. You know, that's just me leaving the house. That's going five out of
But if you want to protect your family, that's very Nazi of you. That's very Nazi of you to protect your family. Caring about the safety of your child, that's basically, you might as well have a funny mustache.
It's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. And then I go online and like, you know, people are saying, you know, free Palestine and pro Hamas rallies. You're like, what the fuck? What world am I going on? And then you're calling black people white supremacists on Fox News. Like, what?
You know, my favorite thing is watching like Jewish women who with like pink hair, who are super progressive, who are doing like pro-Israel posts and getting demolished by the exact same group of people that they've affiliated with for the past 15 years.
It's crazy. I mean, it's almost, you could just put up an Israeli flag. That's all you have to do. Uh-huh. And people just, fuck you. You support genocide. Like, what?
You support Israel, you Nazi? It's like, what? Well, that's the most ironic statement ever.
Like, what is going on? So then I did a show with, is McCorkle coming? I did a show at Michael Blackson, right? And at the Improv, 7 to 9. And I love Michael Blackson, but I go there and I think I'm doing a spot. And they're like, hey, you're hosting, right? Which is always like get you at hosting on a show. But Michael Blackson is like, Michael Blackson's crowd is not the most on time crowd. Okay. So when you go up at 7, it's halfway full. It's a third full.
Yeah,
45 minutes into the set, into the show, it's packed. It's beyond packed. So I was like, you know, people just, and it's not just like whole parties coming in. It's 5 people at a table and then 6 people are coming in at that table. Oh, what's going on? Hey, come here. You know, so it was one of those things, but it was still really good. Jim Gray was there. Yeah. You know Jim Gray?
Jim Gray?
Yeah, the sportscaster, the one that like Pete Rose got mad at.
And yeah.
He's like an older white guy. He was sitting there. So I called him Joe Biden. Everyone was dying laughing at that because he was like, and then there were a lot of like porn stars there. Like somebody was like, hey, you know, Mr. Marcus, you know, Mr. Marcus.
Oh, I know Mr. Marcus.
And I was
Mr. Marcus. He was at a comedy show I did.
And I was like, yeah, I think I've seen his dick more than I see mine. Right. So that guy, like literally like, Mr. Marcus was very, and he had some girl that he was, I guess he's managing porn stars now.
Was it Misty Dawn? Because that's who came to the show that I was at.
I don't
Misty
think Dawn. She was Misty this young, Marcus. Light-skinned, beautiful girl wearing like half pants. Like you could see like half her ass was. I mean, you could see almost everything. and yeah, so that was that. And then so that was basically my. And that was in New York. I did 4 spots in one night. I do miss those nights where I called in for a spot in New York City at Broadway. Like, yeah, can you do the 7, the 9, and the 11? And there was this comic that went on. And he was funny, but I've never seen a more just a comic attack a crowd, not even with like crowd work, just going after everybody. Like it was only like 25 people in the crowd. So I thought there was going to be at least 6 fights, you know, in the crowd. Cause it was just, this guy was like, yeah, you know, fuck you. Oh, you're this, you're that. And just killing people. Like, but not even like having the crowd on his side. Like you think.
So were people laughing or just comics in the back laughing?
Comics in the back laughing, and some people were laughing, but somebody was like, I saw you on TikTok, and he just started. And then I go on the guy's Facebook, and he's got 750,000 followers him just attacking crowds.
Like, yeah, that's what people like now. They just want someone. Some comic in Chicago did a bit about that. He goes, I'm sick of this crowd work stuff. People are like, hey, what's your name? Bob, what do you do? Oh, I'm a dentist. Fuck you.
Yeah, like, okay. That's essentially what it was. I mean, it was funny. And at the end, he's like, yeah, my name is Pete Davidson or blah, blah. And then he's like, fuck Bat Rife. And the guy was like going ballistic up there.
On other comics? That's
yeah, so but God, the guy, but nice enough guy off stage. But I'm like, I really thought there was going to be like 6 people attack this guy within, it was fucking, it was crazy.
Yeah, people like that scare me. Like, I think there should be a semi-consistent personality on stage and off stage. I'm definitely like way dirtier, you know, off stage and a little bit more aggressive on stage. But like, I'm kind of the same guy. These people are like I told you about this time. This influencer did my show. He did a 5-minute guest spot. He's like, oh my god, thank you so much. I'm really honored to do this. But I'm like, okay, great. And I had to go find him to put him on. And I murdered, and I did do the gay gym bit, which is very cheap, but it murdered, right? And then he goes, bombing, He goes, oh, you like the guy with the gay gym with a thong. You think that's funny? That guy, by the way, came to me. He's all hulked up out of his mind. I go, hey, man, you want to do 5 minutes? Here, I'll give you 5 minutes. I'm going, why on earth would I give you a guest spot on my show? Would you do that? It's like comics that do shit like that. I'm just like, I just.
Yeah, no, it happens. Or they, hey, man, can I do a guest set? And you, yeah, and they just go on, they run the light, and they leave.
Oh, yeah, he ran the light for like 10, like
it was 5 minutes. A comic that like made my daughter cry, because my daughter was in the green room with my dad, and she wanted to put on a show, and he's like, I'll watch the show, and he left and never came back. And I started crying. But he wasn't even doing it to be funny. He was just an asshole. Like, wasn't even like, the guy was an asshole. So, anyway. All right, let's talk about some fights. You watched the fights over the weekend?
Yeah. That was one of the best UFC cards I've seen in a long time.
It really was. And I think it helped being in Austin because those people are insane. Now that it's summer, you might be looking for wholesome, convenient meals for sunny, active days. I know I am, okay? And Factor, which is America's number one ready-to-eat meal kit. Not number two, number one. It can help you fuel up fast with flavorful and nutritious ready-to-eat meals delivered right to your door. You'll save time, you'll eat well, and you'll stay on track reaching your goals, okay? Are you too busy with summer plans to cook? I am. It takes me forever to cook, and I ruin the meals. But I want to make sure that I'm eating well, and so should you. Well, with Factor, skip the trip to the grocery store and skip the chopping and the prepping and the cleaning, okay? While still getting the flavor and the nutritional quality you need. The Factor is fresh, never frozen. Their meals are ready in just 2 minutes. That's right, 2 minutes. Although when I do stuff in 2 minutes, my wife complains, okay? But not with Factor. All you got to do is heat and enjoy and then get back outside and soak up this warm weather. Vitamin D, all right? Looking for calorie-conscious options this summer? You can try the delicious, dietitian-approved calorie-smart meals with around or less than 550 calories per serving. That's nothing. That's, you burn that off, I don't know, jogging, all right? You need an extra boost to support your wellness goals this summer? I do. We'll try the Protein Plus meals with 30 grams of protein. Hell yeah. Get rough. Look at these guns, people, all right? So check it out. Check out Factor. Head to factormeals.com/roasted50 and use code roasted50 and get 50% off your first box. That's half off your first box. That's code roasted50 at factormeals.com/roasted50 to get 50% off your first box. All right. Check it out. You're going to thank me later. I got this cute dog. She's teething right now, but she's adorable. All right. No more biting. You got to get some chew toys. So thank you guys so much. Hope you guys are having a wonderful day. And check out Factor right now. So the crowd was going crazy. That stoppage of Bobby Green was the worst I've ever seen in my life. You see that one?
Yeah, can you bring that up on the video?
Yes.
Show it.
I don't think I've ever – I don't know what happened there. I don't know why that guy would – the ref think this is – I've never seen it. And the guy's usually a pretty good ref. It wasn't even like a ref that's known for this. Here he goes. You see it, right?
Yeah.
Here we go.
No, I remember this. I just haven't seen it in a while. I just want to look.
One. All right. So he hits him there. Okay.
Oh, he's wobbled down.
That, right there, you can stop it. And then let's go. 5, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17.
And now he's just out, out, out. Yeah.
There were 17 extra strikes.
Now, the only thing I'll say is that it's possible. I don't know enough about Bobby Green's fight history, but there are a lot, like, for example, Frankie Edgar. He got to a point where refs were not stopping fights because he would always, like, miraculously come back from, like, being unconscious and winning.
Yeah.
So every time he was in that position, they'd be like, okay, it's Frankie Edgar, let's go. Did Bobby Green have the same type of history?
Not like that. Not like that. I mean, and he was not even, like, moving his head out of the way. It's one thing if you're on the ground and you're looking at the shots, but you're face down covering. And so I don't know what – that ref should be suspended forever. Like,
yeah,
you're done. You're done ref.
Is Bobby Green okay? Do they
– Yeah, he's okay. And I don't know if the, I don't know if the ref had money on Bobby Green or it was – maybe he did some weird prop where it was like the other guy by submission or something. I don't know what. But that was just odd. Odd, strange, awful. I hate it.
What did Dana say? Did Dana go off about
it? Dana said it was the worst he's ever seen. Dana said it was the worst he's ever seen.
I'm sure that guy's now fired.
See, that's the thing. I don't think the UFC can't fire him because they don't hire them. It's the athletic commission. So the UFC has no say in it. That's the problem. I mean, I think like Dana says enough times, like, we don't want this guy. It's one thing, but yeah, that was crazy. And then the other ones that were crazy were the two slam back-to-back knockouts, which were...
I feel like I'd only seen one in UFC history where someone, and I think it was like Rampage. Maybe it was back
Rampage.
In
Rampage versus Arona, I believe it was. Ricardo Arona versus Rampage. And the thing about that is, dude, my first day ever at Jiu-Jitsu, a guy put on a triangle and I picked him up and did that. Obviously not knocking him out, but the coach, who I think it was Mac Danzig at the time, was like, "You can't do that." And I'm like, "But I saw it on TV." So like, yeah, you're not allowed to do that. I thought that you were allowed to do that. I mean,
No. But yeah, I mean, let me just say this for anyone in this position. He had the triangle. I mean, if you have the triangle and someone stands up, first of all, that's scary. What's happened to me, just in a class, it's scary. But when someone stands up, you let go of the triangle immediately.
Well, the first one was there. First one was an arm bar. So it wasn't.
Oh, that's right. That one was more, was weirder to me.
Yeah, right here.
Now he finds his way on top. Chipping away with little elbows. We see Selecki. I'm trying to stop.
Because you're never going to give up that arm bar. Once you have the arm and you have the hand in the glove, you're going to keep that.
Oh, no, maybe it wasn't try. Oh, he goes to the arm bar here. Yeah.
Yeah, the arm bar. Yeah, that was so fast. There's no way. That's crazy.
So who did what wrong there? Obviously, the guy is not getting knocked out, but what should he have done?
I mean, like I said, like that guy, he had the arm like that. And when you have the arm, particularly with like the MMA gloves, people don't say it, but you can like actually dig your fingers in the glove. You have like really good purchase on it. So I don't think that I can't imagine letting go of the arm bar. You think you have it. I mean, he had a pretty good position on it. So the fact that that was also a weird slam because it wasn't like straight up and down back of the head. It was a sideways one.
Right.
Which I've definitely never seen a sideways slam where someone went out like that.
You think it was just like the right angle at the right? It was almost a fluke.
Yeah, I think that one was a complete fluke because he didn't go up that high. He just hit his shoulder and then boom. I mean, obviously the what they say is like you just have to tuck your chin in if you're going down as hard as you can. But maybe like you said, this is like a very hard mat for some reason.
Yeah, I think the mat was harder, but I also think that guy Dracar is an explosive wrestler. I think he was like a three-time state champ from Michigan, like had ridiculous upper body strength. And the other guy seemed like he was this kind of a wiry jiu-jitsu guy.
Yes.
You know? And I think when those two meet and one guy just has way more force than the other guy.
Yeah, I used to think that jiu-jitsu was like what you needed more than anything else to really win in MMA. But now it's not. I mean, even like Gary Tonin and one, you know, he was kind of running through people for a while. But then once people kind of got wise to his heel hook leg game, he'd like roll under for the leg and they would just fucking hammer fist him until he went out. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's like you can't just have jiu-jitsu. And that's what happened with that guy, Ryan Hall, is that a lot of these guys are even Krone Gracie. You know, in a jiu-jitsu match, these guys beat anybody. But, I mean, you can't just have wrestling. You can't just have boxing. You can't just have anything. But especially if you have a bottom game.
Yeah. You know. It's crazy how few Gracies have succeeded in MMA. They've all tried it. I mean, almost all of them have really tried
it. Well, no. I mean, Hoist.
Okay, I'm talking about after the initial. The past 20 years.
Right. Now, is that slam legal in jiu-jitsu?
No, not at all.
What would they do? They would just call it off?
I think you'd be DQ'd, yeah. They have a pretty – you get DQ'd in jiu-jitsu if you win and then go, ha, 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 you'll get DQ'd.
Really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
But they let you take steroids.
Well, depending on the promotion. If it's Gordon Ryan, they let you take – because Gordon – I mean, by the way, I actually really appreciate the fact that Gordon Ryan's like, I do steroids. So what? It's legal in my sport.
Yeah.
And everyone else is like –
I mean,
it's bullshit in their shoulders like this.
But so what? I mean, he admits to cheating. I mean, well, I guess it's not cheating if it's not illegal, right?
Exactly.
All right. So here's the other slam that happened. The next fight, which is Crazy. So here we go. Back to back, Cody. Here's the other one.
Yeah, this is a triangle. Yeah.
I'm not sure now, he right away.
Yeah, exactly. He might not have gone out from the slam, swiping the fist. Wow. He's out.
Wow.
Oh, man. That's the traditional. That's kind of like the Rampage slam.
Yeah, and that kid was undefeated, too. But, man, it's crazy. Like, it's always like you're undefeated until something like that happens because you don't expect it. It's like Ben Askren with the flying knee. Like, I read Ben Askren's book, and he's like everything else. He's like, he even admits to being on the spectrum, but he's like, you know, once I see something happens once, I study it over and over and over again, but that never happened to me before. So I had no way of dealing with it.
Yeah.
I'm sure this guy who's 6-0 probably never been slammed before like that, especially. So that was the second one. But that was exciting.
Back to back too, which is insane.
Yeah. And then there were two other fights on the card where the guy was losing, came back and won. That happened. Yeah. So it was like that was definitely probably the best undercard. And then Clay Guida, who got the shit beaten out of him in what was it, the first round, and came back and won the second, lost the third. But damn, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, you gotta love Clay Guida. I can't believe he's still doing it. How old is he now?
41, and he looks more ripped now than he did when he was 31. Like,
yeah,
I don't know what he's taking or what he's doing or what, but. It's not usually normal to look better at 40 than you did at 30.
Now, is HGH, can they test for HGH? Is that something that's like sort of semi-legal in UFC because you can't really test for it?
I think you can test for it, but I don't think you'd want to do it because that would just put on muscle and thickness and growth, human growth. Whereas other things, like you'd almost want to get more ripped, you know? So, I mean, I know if McCorkle comes on, I know he's in a lot of pain. So I don't know if he's going to come today, but if he comes,
did he have his surgery?
I've never met a guy in more physical pain than he is. Like I people that'll get into car accidents and, you know, get shot in the face, you know, in the face have less long-term. I think it's because also he's 6'7", 330 pounds. And his body's not supposed to be that big. Like he's basically like Shrek. He's not supposed to live like that. So,
yeah.
And then when he started MMA at like 28, 29.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was a great high school and college basketball player. He was showing me highlights of him. He was doing like windmill dunks in high school, just murdering kids. So you got to think of like his body wasn't prepared for that. It's like when you gotta start wrestling late, they end up, or jiu-jitsu late, they end up fucking up their bodies because. So imagine what he was doing. And then he's going with all heavyweight.
Well, I mean, that's the problem with steroids in general. Is a lot of people, like their muscles growing away, that's not proportional to their bones. So they're way more injury prone. They look weird. I mean, we know, you know, there's a comic that we both know that got on testosterone, but his body was not an athletic body. Yeah, and he just couldn't maintain it. And now he just is like skinny fat, you know.
His head's all weird. I think he was taking HGH too. Like his head is.
Yeah, there's something happened there.
Yeah, yeah. And I think he did like Botox or something. So it's like all of it is just strange. Like,
and I understand he's like, oh, if you have like the body, like what's it, like an ectomorph or whatever, like a slovenly like female body, and you do test, it's just going to look weird.
Yeah. I don't know, man. But you got to age gracefully. It's like you don't need, especially with women too, man. You see these women that with all the face and the back and the tits. And like, you're just like, what? Like, I can't fuck you from 40 feet away. And that's where you look good. You look good.
I love the Hallmark movies because I don't know if you watch the Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yes, I don't.
Because all the actresses are in their 40s, which is great, or maybe late 30s, but they're all getting serious Botox. Oh. And everything's all about joy and surprise and wonderment, and their face is the exact same the whole movie. You know,
it's hilarious. Yeah, and now everyone's taking that shot, whatever it's called,
Ozempic.
Ozempic, and that can't be healthy either. Like
I tried it.
How did it work for you?
I felt like I had acid reflux the whole time. I never had a quality shit. And I felt like I want to kill myself. So yeah, so I got off it.
Well, people are taking it. They're like, oh, it's great. It cures gambling addiction. And it cures it cures sex addiction. It cures cocaine addiction.
Because you have no money to buy anything else?
People are saying, you know, you're going to eat better. You're not going to eat as much. You know, everything has consequences. There's always nothing is that there's no magic pill and there's no magic shot. So this is like, and most people that take it are looking skinny fat too. Like their necks are cut, they have that, you know, those whatever PCAP, what are they called? Bird necks or something, whatever the, like they,
yeah. Like, and we've heard of Ozempic face. You heard the term Ozempic face?
No, that's a thing now.
Yes. And I will only say this because she would never listen to the podcast, but baby mama, she got on Manjaro, which is another one. Always, she's a very beautiful woman. She's always been like, but she wanted to lose the baby weight. And she got on it and like literally like her face looked like Skeletor. It just got so like uber chiseled. And then she'd like contour her makeup the same way. And I was like, don't contour your makeup because now you look like an x-ray, you know?
And now people say Matt Rife had a chin job. I don't even know if that was even an option.
I don't think that's true.
You can get chin jobs now?
I don't think you got a chin job.
What is
that's just
even,
people hate.
How does that happen? What do you do? Like, what is a chin job? Like,
he didn't get a chin job.
I'm telling you, people are saying he got a chin
job. People want to hate on Matt Rife, but Matt Rife is, look, he was my feature for 3 years. And there'd be times I'd be sitting with him at lunch. I'd be like, this guy's retardedly handsome. I mean, it's it's unfair, you know.
But nice kid, right? Nice guy.
He's got a streak. Oh, God. He's a nice guy, but he's got a streak. He's got a streak on the DL, which is, you know, which is fine. We all have one.
Right. So Don Fry just joined us.
Hey, Don.
Hey, guys. I apologize. A buddy of mine from the fire department came over. So.
What did you guys do?
Little bum. Huh?
What did you guys do?
Oh, we just bullshitted for about 30 minutes, maybe 20 minutes late. Yes. You know, I told you I'd be 10 minutes late, so I ended up 30.
You're either an hour early or 30 minutes late. Which is
That's the way it works.
So,
how are you all doing?
Good. We were talking about a lot of things, but I was talking about we were talking about the fight. You watched the fights last weekend?
No, sir, I did not.
A couple slam knockouts. One of the worst stoppages I've ever seen. So I'll show you the stoppage. The Bobby Green one. We're talking about this. All right, Donald, what should happen to this ref? Right, hold on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh, is he hitting him at all, or is he missing him?
He's hitting him.
Okay, is now. Yeah, is now.
Oh, even before that, so here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
But he is moving.
8, 9.
Yeah, what you got to realize is all those aren't making the proper connection. He might be hitting, but he's hitting at an off angle, and they're not making any significant impact.
I don't know, man. So that was Dana said it was the worst stoppage he's ever seen. I got to agree.
Too late, Jordan.
Yeah, way too late. Too early. Yeah, way too late.
Come on, Don's from the Pride days. It's a different, different.
Yeah. Dana's complaining. You know, shit. You know, yeah, you're not getting it in there properly.
And then there were two of these, right? It was back to back slams.
Minute plus of this fight.
So here's the first one.
Chipping away with little old eyes, we see Selecki. He was trying to stand up there a second ago, trying to post on his left arm and pull the legs out. Once again, the closed doors. On one to the arm.
So that's – did you ever do it to anybody, Don?
No, I don't think so. You know, you got to realize I fought heavyweights, man. Shit. You know, it's not just picking somebody up and, you know –
And then here's the second one that happened 3 minutes, the next fight over.
Oh.
So this is back to back slam, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So does this prove, Don, that jiu-jitsu doesn't work?
Yeah. In a fight, no, it does not work. It's good in a competition, you know. I mean, but it's not a fight combat, you know, style. You know, it's a sport. It's a sport style. It's like Taekwondo.
But I mean, it works from the top as far as submitting people, but not for you, right?
Works from the top or from the bottom?
For the guy from the top, jiu-jitsu works with a rear naked choke or a guillotine, but from the bottom, it doesn't work, right? In a fight?
Oh, in a fight? No, because the guy's, sticking a bunch of knuckles in your face, you know? if he knows what he's doing.
Did you ever get submitted, Don, in a way that surprised you? Were you ever submitted during Pride or UFC in a way that was like, oh, wow, that's weird. You got that submission?
Fuck.
Nah.
No, I don't think so. But yeah, anytime you get submitted, it's a surprise, you know?
Yeah.
So we got Jamal Emmers here, by the way. Jamal Emmers coming off a huge win. Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
He's a badass fighter. One of the best. One of the best out there. Lost a couple split decisions that should have went his way. One of them had a fight. 10 people, 10 press out of 10 said he won, and they gave it to the other guy. That was straight racism, right, Jamal?
Not it. So sometimes that's how the game goes. I've been fighting long enough to know how that worked. It's not the first time or.
Your Wi-Fi is breaking up a little bit. Is there a
Oh, good. I was wondering if it was me.
if I let the judges. Oh.
Yeah. Jamal, is there anywhere better you have better Wi-Fi? Just because we're hearing every third word.
Oh. Is this better?
Yeah, that's way better. Are you in Florida?
No, I'm in Whittier.
Whittier. Okay. That's where you grew up in California, right?
No, I'm not from California at all. I'm from Florida.
Oh, you're from Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you were a big wrestler. Now, Jamal, you're...
Boy, you've done great research on this guy. Yeah, you're amazing.
You started watching MMA because your dad liked Pride, right?
Yeah. It was watching guys like Don Fry, for example. Yeah. Yep.
Did you ever watch Don Fry with your dad growing up?
Of course. Yeah.
You just said that, you big dummy.
He said guys like Don Fry. He didn't say actual Don Fry.
I mean, of course, Don Fry. You see, yeah, of course, yeah.
Now, what was that like? So your dad would like put in the VHS and say, "Hey, man, come here, let's watch some fighting."
Yeah, it was pretty much that. We would. I mean, my parents went through a divorce, so that was we did that on bonding times. Besides, play video games, so it was something else for us to bond over. So it was that, yeah.
So your parents got divorced, dad moved out, you would come and he'd be like, "Hey kid, come here, let's watch some fighting." And then that's pretty awesome. And then you
started wrestling. People beat each other up.
And you started wrestling just to get good at fighting.
Yeah, that was the idea, watching all the wrestlers dominate, especially coming up, you know.
Yeah.
Because I was a kid in the early 2000s, so that's what I was watching. I was watching wrestling. Yeah. So
yeah, wrestling makes all the difference in the world, doesn't it? It teaches you how to make sacrifices, disciplined,
Right.
And get your ass to working hard, yeah.
Right. Keeps you accountable for yourself, yes.
Absolutely.
And now, did you win the states in high school, or were you good?
No, I suck.
Hey, you still got the discipline. You still got the discipline. That's what matters.
Yeah.
So no wrestling in college?
I wrestled a year in college. I don't know how that happened. Like, yeah. So, but yeah, just did.
And then what did you do after wrestling? Did you any other sports, or were you just like chasing women, which most people do in college?
No, I got right into MMA after that.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's in California?
No, that was in Texas first.
Oh, that was in Texas, right? Oh, okay. Yeah. So you moved to Texas.
I lived in a lot of different places. I went to school in Iowa.
Wow, which one?
Yeah. Wardorf.
Is that a real school?
Yeah, it's a NAI school. It's a
Were there other black people there?
Yeah, we all hung out together too.
All four of you.
Yeah, but that was culture shock. That was the first time I experienced that moving up there. Yeah.
Wow. So then you went to from Iowa. So then you were at Iowa. You were wrestling in Iowa, mm-hmm. And then you wrestled for 1 year. You joined it. Did you finish college?
No, I just went for 1 year and that was it. I realized it wasn't for me. I was like, I don't even know why I'm here. Like, I would ask people, say, why are you here? And they all knew. And I was like, man, I don't have a clue. I was like, that's really. Yeah. So
then you started doing MMA. So then you went to an MMA gym in where? In Texas?
Yeah, in San Antonio. Brazilian Top Team.
Got it.
It was the first gym I trained at, yeah.
And then your first 13 fights, a couple of them came against, you beat Corey Sandhagen, right?
Yep.
Whoa. Yeah. That's impressive.
Yeah, you beat a lot of good guys, like early, right?
Yeah.
So then you finally get to Dana White's Contender Series. You're all excited. Mm-hmm. You win the first round, and then the second round didn't go so well.
No, it didn't. So, like, that was one of those things where I'm glad I learned that lesson, because I wasn't mentally prepared to be in the UFC at that point in time. Mm. It was eye opening for me because I've never been knocked out before, ever, like ever in life. That was the one and only time that happened. So I was like, oh, this is like. This is for real, for real. Like, I don't
know. It's a wake up call, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. Like, you think, like, yeah, you know the sport dangerous, but until it happened to you, it happened to you. So I was like, oh, man, that happened to me. So, yeah. Like, all right. So, yeah, that made a lot of difference after that fight, yeah.
But then you came back, you won four in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And then the UFC made the call. How good did that feel?
Oh, that felt great. Yeah, that felt great. I was like,
good. Congratulations, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dun, it's not a bird. It's not a plane. It's a ball trimmer sent from space. Gentlemen, our friends over at Manscaped have been working night and day to bring you a below-the-waist grooming experience like none other with their brand new Performance Package 5.0 Ultra. Featuring the Lawnmower 5.0, we're talking about a next-generation trimmer with interchangeable blade heads for whatever shave your mind can imagine. That's right. Upgrade your grooming game to the Ultrasphere this year by going to manscaped.com for 20% off plus free shipping with code MMA Roasted. High tech for low places. Manscaped. I'm telling you, people, I use Manscaped all the time. My balls feel amazing, amazing, okay? If you have a girlfriend or a boyfriend and they put their balls, you put your balls in their mouth, okay? Or they put their balls in your mouth, whatever it is, okay? You want your balls, you want them shaved, you want them feeling good. It's a whole new experience, okay? AI is cool, but I think this might be the biggest technological advancement the world has seen in the past decade. Now, every man knows how scary it is when going for a close shave. Oh, my God, I've cut myself. It's horrible. And then the whole day you're like, ugh, just not feeling good. It's just shaving, like your balls are just, ugh. You're wearing boxers and it's just going against you. And you're like, ugh, not good, not good. Okay. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads. A standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade for go smooth whenever your heart desires. Okay, I'm telling you, they also have the Weed Whacker 2.0, which features skin-safe technology, which helps prevent nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes. Very delicate. Okay, so get 20% off plus free shipping with the code MMAROASTED at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping with the code MANSCAPED at
know, with the code MMA Roasted at manscaped.com. I promise you, you've never seen a ball trimmer look like a spaceship. Get yours today with our folks at Manscaped. You're going to thank me when you have nice, shaved balls that feel really good. Check it out. Manscaped.
Do you get the call from Dana, or who calls you?
No, my manager called. Okay. Yeah. You know, I think he talked to Sean Shelby. No,
yeah. I mean, now, at that time, are you working odd jobs to make ends meet? Are you?
Yeah, I'm just coaching at this point.
Coaching. Yeah. And now you got a record of 20 wins with 7 losses. Although some of those losses are like bullshit. Oh, it said your dad rented Pride tapes from Blockbuster too.
Yeah. Like, it was a while ago.
And by the way, that was the type of thing when you had to go to the 18 plus room to get those fights because they were like considered like human cockfighting. Like you couldn't get them in the regular section of Blockbuster. You had to go
I don't think so. Yeah, because I never like picked them out. My dad he saw it and grabbed it. So I'm like, all right, let's watch this.
And then they had you against Giga Chikadze. You lost a split decision. That's a tough fight right there.
Yeah.
Then you had one fight, I remember, the Chaz Skelly, where he's in the back. So Chaz walks out, and he's ready to fight. Mm-hmm. And then Jamal starts having back spasms. So right. Then Chaz is out there, like, dancing. Like, and then they just – what happened there?
Oh, so I found out I had a herniated disc.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't even stand up. It was hard to stand up. Yeah.
Found that out while they were introducing you?
Yeah.
Well, like up that week, I'll say it happened Wednesday. It was I was warming up, I'm fine up until Wednesday. Fine. So I'm moving around. Next thing you know, like I feel a sharp pain just shoot right down my leg, and I'm like, oh man, this is odd. So I'm like, I need to warm up. No, I didn't collapse. Like I kept trying to move and like warm my leg.
I've done that, man. Just collapsing, like what the fuck?
it was just weird. So I just figured, like, maybe I can just stretch it out. So the more I moved, the worse it got, and then the worse it got. So I'm right in the PI. So I let everybody know, like I don't know what I just did to my back, and is I can't move. So they lift my shirt up and they see how inflamed my back is. You can see it. It was like taking pictures and showing me how swollen my back was. And I was like, oh man. I'm like, what happened? Did I pull a muscle in my back or something? And like they trying to like work it out. Even that whole the rest of the time there, like I'm trying to get massages to get my mobility back. And like the more they rubbed on it, the worse it got. So I'm like, and I tried to fight it. Like I tried to be a tough guy, but I couldn't even get up. Like
But they're introducing you.
Oh.
But they introduced the other guy. So then when do you tell them, like, I'm not like
they already know up and, like they know. Like I already told when I told the PI, I told everybody. Like the whole UFC know when I told the PI. Like, cause they catalog everything. They let everybody know like what's going on, because like I'm fighting on the card. So I let it be known, like my coach let it be known. So we trying to work through it. Like maybe I could fight through it. Like my coach was like, look, man, you probably got 2 rounds. Like he gave me 2 rounds. And he said after that, like, let's just hope he run out of gas.
That would have been funny if you had like a wheelchair and you would have wheeled out there. I mean, that's crazy.
So what happened?
The doctor came in and he was like, stand up and walk to me. He was at the door. He was like, just stand up and walk to me. And that'll determine if I'll let you fight or not. And I was like, fuck. Right. So I was like, all right.
I can't get up.
I couldn't. I rolled over and tried to get up. I really tried to get up like the way they told me how to get up, like the proper way to sit up, like so I don't hurt myself. And he was like, man, he looked at me. He was like, man, he said, just lay down and walked out. And I was like,
oh my God.
Yeah. Like he, yeah. So that happened. Yeah.
That's crazy. Did Dana say anything like, "Hey,
so man, how long were you out here?"
I was out for like 4. I'd probably say like 4 months, because, like I had to do rehab. They gave me like some shots for it. And it took a while to get me back to normal, and I'm still like, it's still like kind of weird. Like I can still feel it some days. So it's just like,
Dana took care of you on all.
Yeah.
No, the UFC took care of me. They looked out for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's nice, man. That's nice when they do that. You know, it makes you feel appreciated, don't it? You know?
Right. 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 Makes you work a lot harder for them.
Yeah.
So
with pride that, Don, did pride do
sure
anything?
Does. Sure fucking does.
Don, did
Pride, yeah, Pride took care of me. Pardon?
No, go on.
Pardon?
No, go on. Pride took care of you.
What's that?
I know. I'm asking you the same question.
Yeah, Pride took care of me.
Oh, nice, nice, nice. So so where do you live?
Pride took care of me. Bob Myrons took care of me.
Oh, good. Now, Jamal, where do you live now?
Oh, right now I live in NorCal now. I'm just around here visiting. Yeah, SoCal. But y'all live in Jackson. That's outside of Sacramento, near Stockton area.
Nice. You got girlfriend, kids?
Nah, single guy, no kids, just trying to chase this dream of being a fighter.
No, I thought you were black. Hey, you're black. What do you mean you don't have any kids?
Yeah, a few of us don't have kids.
Not all black people have kids. Don's like old racist. Like he's like,
no. I'm from the South. I understand. I'm not tripping.
Oh, good. Yeah.
you got a sense of humor. You're a man.
No, I got a sense of humor.
You're a fucking man. You laugh at life instead of fucking crying about everything and having everything pull you down. You rise above it. Yeah, shit.
Right.
That's what you gotta do. You gotta enjoy life. You gotta enjoy life and play with it. You know, fuck, if you're miserable all the time, you're gonna have a miserable existence.
Right.
So who are you training with now?
I'm at Alpha Male. I'm in between Alpha Male, and when I'm in SoCal, I train with my buddy Jumbie. He's my striking coach.
Oh, nice.
So we got guys out of there. I train with Taco. He's a up next champ at 155, up next champ. He fought a week before me, actually.
Yeah.
Finished the guy like brutally, you know. Got some good guys in there.
So how do you like work training with like Faber and all those guys?
Oh man, I love training with them guys. They like the information they love to share in that room is crazy. Like they don't mind sharing information.
He's a good guy.
I love information. So I'm like, oh man, I get all this cool info and I get to bounce ideas off these guys and like see different techniques and like different styles of like it's just a nice room to train in. I like training in that room.
How did you end up in Northern California?
Yeah.
All right, long story short. So, my coach sold his gym, and like I was the only fighter he was like still like training. So he was like, "Hey, let's just go up there and move to NorCal and see if we can make it work up there." And I was like, "What are we gonna train at?" So he was like, "We're gonna train at Alpha Male." I was like, "Oh, okay." So he was like, "Yeah, let's just do it." And we've been doing it ever since. It's been me and him for what, like shoot, the past 2 years. Yeah.
It kind of sounds like he kidnapped you.
No, he didn't kidnap me. Because I had my own apartment and everything. I was living in Redlands. And he was like, hey, this is – he said, I'm going to just sell a gym. I was like, word? He was like, yeah, man. He said, I'm going to put all my effort into you. You're the only fighter I got. And I was like, so that's it? He was like, yeah. I was like,
wow.
I was like, yeah. So, yeah, he
did that. That's belief, man. He believes in you.
Oh, for sure. So, like, I got to make it work.
Yeah.
So, who do you want to fight
next? That's nice, man. That's nice.
Who do you want to fight next?
Anybody. Like, I'm, like, anybody. It's, It's so many guys I'm like looking at now, and I'm seeing. I'm like, what's the quickest way I could get to the top 10, right? And I'm like, I'm like, it's like, I could say like 10 guys. I'm like, I'm possibly gonna fight. Like I done saw them, looked at it, looked at some of their fights, looked at their records, and I'm like, okay, I gotta be maybe 2 of the 10, and I can move up pretty quick. So it just depends on who they give me. Like I'm not trying to call my shot right now because I need to like get some momentum, some more momentum. So yeah, it's just whoever they give me.
Nice. Well, listen, Jamal, I'm a big fan. Thank you for coming on the show. Yeah. You're killing it, man. You're living the dream. You're doing so good.
Nice to meet you, brother. Nice to meet you.
Yeah, it's nice to meet you too.
I love
it. It's a pleasure.
Have a happy holiday, brother.
All right, you too. Y'all have a nice day.
Good luck. Good luck, partner.
All right, that was Jamal Emrys. Nice guy. Real nice guy.
Yeah. Really nice guy. Sure.
And I love the fact that the guy gets knocked out.
I'm impressed.
Yeah, wins 4 fights and comes back. I mean, that's fucking, you know.
So his last fight was a win?
Yeah, last fight was a win, 1 round.
Oh, that's awesome.
But it's the one thing you can't teach is heart. You know, you get these guys, they win, you know, 10 in a row.
Right.
They lose one, and you never see them again. You never see them again, you know?
Right.
And then you got guys like that. You know, he finally gets the contender. He loses. He gets knocked out. He wins 4 in a row. He wins, you know, he loses a shitty decision. He comes back. He wins. You know, it's just so one thing, man. I wish you could teach heart. I think you could teach heart, but it's got to be early in life. I don't think you could teach heart when someone's an athlete. I think at that point, it's too late. I think you got to teach heart when they're like 3 and 4 and 5, and then it carries on, you know?
Right.
So
they got to grow into it. You know, they got to develop it and keep growing that. The heart's got to grow with the person.
Yeah.
Tom, what was the most adversity you faced as a fighter?
Breaking my neck, I guess.
Jesus Christ.
Broke my back a couple times, broke my neck.
I don't mean to laugh at you breaking your neck. Did you break
it? You never hear that.
Did you break it during the fight?
No. First time I broke it, I was in college. And you know, we were out drinking and running around those three wheelers, you know, and I crashed the three wheeler, and I just thought I fucked up my shoulder, you know. I didn't know I broke my neck until 20 years later when I broke it again and they fixed it. A guy comes in and says, "When's the first time you broke your neck?" You know, you know, what are you doing? Oh shit,
no.
You know, and.
Yeah.
Fuck. But yeah, I broke it doing pro wrestling, and then they fused it, and I was back in the ring in 3 months, you know, because I worked for the Japanese, and they're not going to give you a lot of time off, you know. They expect you to earn your money.
Yeah.
There was one guy, Don, I just saw on TikTok that I'd say he's not as tough as you, but if there was a guy in your bracket, Tex Cobb. Have you ever
hung out with Tex Cobb? Yeah.
You know
I
who this
love
guy
Tex
is?
Cobb. I think he's great.
No, this guy is? So he's
that's the only name that's manlier than Don Fry.
So this guy, Bill, I went into a Tex Cobb, like, what do they call it? Like deep dive, where this guy was like he's an actor. He was a boxer, and he fought like just went the distance with Ali, like
holy shit,
and he beat him. He beat him in boxing. The guy, he was a boxer. Then he was a kickboxer, a boxer, and an actor. And he's one of these guys that just won fights by people punching him in the face, like people breaking their hands.
Yeah, Larry Holmes.
Larry. Like, did you
Larry
ever
meet, Holmes?
You ever meet Tex Cobb?
No, I saw him one time when I was in college. Up there, we were at the Las Vegas tournament, and I saw him in the in the casino, and I'm like, man, that's one of the ugliest people on the planet. You know, shit. But a good buddy of mine, Stuart Wilson, he was a training partner with Tex Cobb. So he's got stories about Cobb.
What'd he say about him?
He said he's a fucking crazy bastard, man. He's tougher than shit. You know, he says, you know, when he fought Larry Holmes, you know, he used us a punching bag for, you know, what, 12, 15 rounds, however long they fought back then. And he said after the fight, you know, they went to his hotel room. The guy just had a tub full of ice and had a bunch of beer. And he's just sitting around drinking beer like nothing happened, you know?
This guy, Tex Cobb, you got to
read. Tougher than fucking nails.
Oh, my God. This guy, and he kind of looks like Don a little bit. Like, he's got that manly face, not as handsome. Oh. He's got a mustache, and he's a big actor. Like, he was in a lot of movies. Like, a real.
Sounds familiar, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And he's right out of the school of Don Fry, of just one of the toughest human beings you've ever seen in your life. Like, and Tex Cobb and Don Fry. I feel like you guys.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.
Thank you.
That's
a hell of a compliment. Thank you.
No, well, I mean, I think you were a lot better fighter than him, you know, because you were the champion. He wasn't the champion at fighting, you know, but he was up there. He was
right.
And people already thought he was a joke because he was an actor. But no, he just would just get punched in the face over and over again, winning the fight. It was crazy.
You ever see the movie The Champ? Champ, Ricky Schroeder's John first Voight? Movie, and John Voight.
Yeah.
He was the opponent. He was John Voight's opponent in the boxing match.
Oh wow! So this is like this predates you then, Don, a little bit, right? You must be a little bit older.
Yeah. Oh yeah, by a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was basically the original Don Fry.
Yeah.
All right, some other things that happened. So, Jamahal Hill, I guess. So he was the champion. He got hurt. He had to vacate his belt. So all over the news on TMZ last week, Jamahal Hill arrested for domestic violence. Right? Turns out he beat up his brother.
Oh, that doesn't count.
Yeah, like I guess he went to his brother's.
Yeah, that's not domestic.
I guess he was at his brother's house. And there were rats everywhere, and he punched his teeth out to clean up, or something happened with him and his brother. But all over TMZ, domestic violence. Like, does that count as domestic violence?
No, there's gotta be a different word for it.
No, fuck no.
I mean, what a misleading title.
Sibling violence.
Right.
Yeah.
Sibling disagreement.
Sibling rivalry gone too far. That's what should be called.
So Kelvin Gastelum
lost
his fight.
Right.
That sucked. Kelvin lost his fight. He went down to 170.
Oh, did he?
Went up against Sean Brady, and Brady just beat him up, like, not even on the feet, just took him down. Just crazy, because Kelvin's a wrestler. Kelvin was a state champ wrestler, and I don't even know if Sean Brady wrestled in high school or college, but he just kept taking him down, and submitted him. In the third, and that, it sucked because this was Kevin's fight at 170.
Yeah.
But
do you think this is the end of the road for Kelvin as a UFC?
I don't know, man. Like, I think it's weird because when he went out to 185, he was a lot faster than everybody because he should have been a 170 pounder. And I think he also had a lot of power. I think people were like, he knocked out Bisping, he knocked out Vitor Belfort, he stopped Tim Kennedy. I think people didn't realize how strong he was. We're at 170, he's not as quick as he was. Yeah. But I think give him another fight or two at 170. I don't think it's the end of the road for Kelvin. I just think he's adapting to the weight class. Okay. Misha Tate won, never looked better. So Misha.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, what? That she's 41?
I always think she's like semi-retired.
You know, I think you could. I think women's MMA, you could fight older.
Really?
Maybe because it's not as deep, not as many people, but I think experience also plays a huge factor in women's MMA. But Misha looked great.
in bare knuckle fighting. Don, you watched the bare knuckle fighting?
Who'd she fight?
Misha fought.
Who'd Misha fight?
She fought this girl from who got kicked out of her gym a couple years ago. What's her name? But Misha just dominated her. And the girl was ranked number like 11. She fought Julia Avila. So yeah, she looked great. She wants to rematch against Holly Holm again. They want to do that, but she beat Holly Holm the first time.
Yeah.
But she wants to fight Holly Holm again. I guess they're offering Ronda Rousey allegedly $15 million to come back to UFC.
Oh my God.
300.
Ronda Rousey would get destroyed.
UFC what?
UFC 300. They're trying to find a big names for this. So names that are being floated around right now are Nick Diaz versus GSP and Ronda Rousey. I mean, is everyone in a time machine or something? Like, did we all just forget? Like, the maybe the WWE fans will come back. They didn't like
her. They haven't developed any big stars, though. You know, who's the big name star right now?
It's Israel, but he dropped out, you know?
I mean, probably Connor.
Right, right.
Or O'Malley. I mean, you're right. But are people going to shell out $80 to see Ronda Rousey return?
I don't think so.
Probably. They'll pay anything.
Maybe.
You know, people won't want to see a good fight.
I don't know about this one. I mean, definitely GSP versus Nick Diaz. I don't want to see that. I want to see that, but not as a main. I mean, GSP, I think, we don't know where he's at because his last fight was against Bisping and he looked amazing. But that was a long time ago. But Nick Diaz looked not very good against Robbie Lawler, for being honest. So I don't know. I mean, is this a WME thing where they're just trying to pick names that everyone knows and, oh, these are the followers, and are we doing this by numbers? Is that what's going on right now? Because, I mean, Dana White is very in tune with what the fans want, and I know he probably doesn't think the fans all want to just clamor to see Ronda Rousey right now. So
that's wild.
I mean, people will
maybe
watch
she's Ronda big on TikTok. I mean, maybe she's really big on TikTok.
Yeah, but who's the big name right now? Yeah, who's the big name out there right now?
I don't know. I mean, I'd rather watch Brock Lesnar right now than Ronda Rousey. I mean, at least Brock.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, Brock went out.
Brock Lesnar's a hell of an athlete.
Yeah.
He's a hell of an athlete, you know?
Have you seen Brock's daughter, by the way?
No, but I'm guessing she's hot.
She's two.
Why'd you see it? No. Oh, did she come to practice with Brock?
Yeah. No, I met them in Minnesota, with Brad Reagan's, his cousin. You know, Brad's the guy who broke me into pro wrestling, so we all had dinner all night, you know.
Grand slams, no hitters, and double plays are back. That's right, and there's no better place to get on the MLB action than FanDuel, America's number one sports book and official partner of Major League Baseball. And guess what, people? New customers in Massachusetts getting in on the action with $200 in bonus bets guaranteed when you place your first $5 bet. Just sign up at FanDuel.com/Boston. And finally, you can bet on all your favorite sports from the money line to point spreads to player props and more. I love it, okay? If I'm going to bet, I'm going to go on FanDuel. So now, bet on an app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Don't miss your chance to get $200 of bonus bets. Win or lose, how great is that? Okay, visit FanDuel.com/Boston and make every moment more. That's FanDuel, the official partner of Major League Baseball. You got to be 21 and older and present in Massachusetts. Okay, your first online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable, and bonus bets that expire in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Help is here. So is hope. Hope and help. Gambling Help Line MA.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234. That's FanDuel. Check it out now. Right now. You want to bet? That's where you go.
So Brock's daughter is just won Colorado State's shot put record. This is her at 18.5 meters. I don't know how big that is, but look at her. She is – that is an athletic specimen if I've ever seen one. I mean, that's definitely Brock's daughter.
That's Brock
and your dad with the wig on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Brock's good. He's a good-looking woman. He's a good-looking woman.
Who knew? She looks like she could throw a shot, but holy shit. I mean, I could lift the rest of my life.
You're a stud. Yeah.
She looks like she could fuck shit up. I'm not saying anything negative about his daughter other than that.
What, not at all.
She's a hell of an athlete, man.
Yeah.
An athlete and a half.
She's a hell of an athlete.
Have you seen Michael Bisping's daughter?
Huh?
Bisping's daughter.
I hear she's a very attractive woman.
You should Google that.
Let's leave it at that. All right. Okay. So now Mike Perry beat Eddie Alvarez, made Eddie Alvarez quit, which is something I never thought. His corner threw in the towel. I guess he broke two orbital bones in Eddie's eye. In bare knuckle boxing, Mike, you're never going to beat Mike Perry. Mike Perry is the greatest bare knuckle boxing champion right now. He called out Anthony Pettis afterwards. Anthony Pettis said, why not? I think he's going to win that one too. You can't hurt this guy. People are just quitting against him. I've never seen this before. It's the second guy in a row he made quit. Luke Rockhold and then Eddie Alvarez in bare knuckle boxing. So, yeah. All right. Also, UFC 290, what's coming up? UFC 296, I believe it is. Bryce Mitchell is filling in for Josh Emmett. I know he's fighting Josh Emmett. You know who Bryce Mitchell is? He's the guy.
No.
Yeah, but he's the guy that was a wrestler from like Arkansas. He thinks the earth is flat. He has like 87 guns.
Yeah. Right.
After his last fight, he wanted to pray in the octagon. Remember, he was like, I want to do a prayer because the devil is in Hawaii and the devil is what caused the fires. And Michael Bisping like wrapped it up and he was praying in the middle of the octagon with the guy he beat. It was the greatest thing I've ever seen. So he's back, which is great because this dude is a trip. This week, it's Yadong is fighting. Song Yadong, are you a fan? Don,
I love him.
Really?
He's great.
All right. So Song Yadong is fighting Chris Gutierrez. Should be a good fight. Yadong is on a 2-fight winning streak. He's a monster. And Gutierrez is the guy that flying kneed Frankie Edgar and knocked him out at Madison Square Garden. I'll never forgive him for that. Even though he's a good guy. Khalil Roundtree is fighting. He's the one that he was on the Ultimate Fighter in the finale. He was getting beat up. And his mom kept yelling at him to get up. And he said, shut up, mom. He said it during, you heard him during the broadcast of him saying, shut up, mom.
That's the best. Did he win?
No, he lost that one. But he's won his last couple fights. He knocked out Gokhan Saki. And Gokhan Saki is like the greatest kickboxer like alive. And he knocked him out in an MMA fight. He's fighting Anthony Smith. Anthony Smith is the guy who, great guy. He fought John Jones. He could have got the win by disqualification, but he didn't take it. No, thank you, please. And then he, nothing. Thank you. So Anthony Smith is the guy that he had an intruder in his house that was on meth.
I'll take one.
So he's fighting Anthony Smith versus Khalil Roundtree. Those are the big ones. And then Tim Elliott. Tim Elliott came in short notice. That was the one whose wife cheated on him on their wedding day, and he posted about it with the best man.
Oh, that's right. My God.
Yeah, the girl that I used to date, Gina. So he's fighting some guy named Suma Derji. I guess he doesn't have a last name.
Yes, she dated you. She just do anything, huh? Dude, yeah.
She cheated on him on her wedding day, which is with the best man, which is crazy. I mean, when do you even?
That does add a little zhuzh to the affair. Let's be honest.
What?
That's exciting. That does add a little zhuzh to the affair to do it on the wedding day with the best man.
I think he's Jewish. I was like, what did the Jews?
That's why he didn't have a wedding ceremony.
Really?
That's why I avoided a wedding ceremony, because I knew my wife would do that.
By the way, are you guys following this Adam 22 thing? You know who this is?
No. No.
Never heard of it.
So Adam 22 is like a very famous.
Never heard of it.
So he's a very famous podcaster. And he's got like a neck tattoo. He interviews a lot of rappers, and he's really big on like World Star. He's a very famous podcaster. So he married a porn star, and basically they have a podcast where they fuck a different girl every week. Well, he gave her permission to fuck a guy, and like she fucked some male porn star.
Jeez.
So now he has a reality show that he's doing, like, where it's like, who wants to fuck my wife? Where he has five guys.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, he's into the whole cuckold thing. There are men who are into that. That's what they want.
He has five.
They want to be embarrassed.
Five guys to compete to fuck his wife. I watched it. Is the world over, Don? Is it over?
Nobody had to compete to do mine. Nobody had to compete to do my ex-wife. Fuck. Just take a ticket. A number.
I mean, what is it? Why are guys letting other guys fuck their wives? Why are they filming it? Why are they making it into a reality show?
There are guys who get turned on. I mean, literally, it's a whole world, like the cuckold world, where it's very big in England, by the way, not surprisingly. We're like, these British men want like an American black man to fuck their wife. It's a massive culture. I've had girls who've been recruited to do that.
Fuck.
Been asked to do that.
Wow. I mean,
that's insane.
I don't know, man. I would just leave and never come back. If some guys started to fuck up, I'd walk in, I'd be like, it's over.
Right.
It's over. I'm getting custody. Right.
Absolutely.
It's done. We're done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sorry, man. I don't even like my wife has male friends. I trust her, but I'm not sorry. Like, I don't even have threesomes with my wife with girls, because I'm just like, no, there's some shit you want to just keep a little bit, you know, sanctimonious. You want to have a little
private. Yeah, it's. I mean, that's the whole thing about getting married, isn't it? You know, just being with one person, you know, and then being with one person.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I mean, what's the reason? What's the fucking 100%. Reason to get married?
Yeah. Unless you're Mormon.
So yesterday at the UFC PI,
right.
Sean Strickland got into a fight with Ian Garry. You guys know Ian Garry, right? That's the guy.
Yeah, he's great.
That married a 40-year-old woman that people were saying was
what, so, they got a physical fight or like
yeah
a
they had Twitter to get they had to get separated at the UFC PI. Oh, wow. And then afterwards Sean made a video about it. You guys want to see the video? So I know you got to wrap it up, Bill.
Yeah, sure.
So let's see the video of Strickland made a video after fighting with Ian Garry at the UFC PI. Here we go.
Awkward, man. Awkward. You know, so you guys went to PI today, and I ran into the fucking cucking and Garry. Awkward, man, awkward. You looked at me hard, you know, security had to escort us around. Fucking awkward shit, right? I'm laughing my ass off. But anyways, Garry, I don't fucking hate you, dude. I actually like you. I think you're a fucking funny little dweeb. You make me fucking laugh. I think you're a dumbass fucking kid who got some pussy that was too good for him, and it got in his head, and it fucked you up, and it fucked you up.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to fight you, bro. I'm happy for your success. I'm happy for you. But if you look at me hard and you're feeling some kind of way, if you're feeling some kind of way, get this shit fucking handled, and you want to look at me hard and that's what you want, slide up in the DMs, bro. I don't want it, but if that's what you want, you know where to find me, man.
So that's Sean Strickland's take on man.
Yeah, I mean, I love when people say, I really like him. He's a loser dweeb, but I'm gonna kick his ass. I like the guy.
Sean Strickland, I mean, this poor guy is like 8-0. He's one of the best fighters in the world. And in, he did not sign up for like the wife writing a book about how to get a be a wag, fighting with Strickland, people coming in. Thoughts, Don Fry? Don?
Lost Don Fry?
I said what? Thoughts. What are your thoughts
what?
On it?
What? Thoughts. Oh, my thoughts. Oh, shit. I put my money on Sean. Shit. My money goes on Sean. And the other guy, grimy. I don't know what he's fucking thinking. I mean, that's the thing about this sport is everybody enjoys it, but nobody has the respect for it. And they all think they can do it or they can beat the fucking, you know, the champ. No, you can't. This, you know, these guys are professional fucking athletes. That's what they train to do every fucking day. And you can't beat them, okay? Give it up, you know?
Yeah, but
go mean mug somebody else.
But Ian Gary's Gary trains every day. He's 7-0 or 8-0. He's beating you guys.
Well, then have Dana make that match. Let's make the match, Dana. Fuck, let's make some money.
He should have the wife buried. She have the wife be the ring girl. That would be hilarious. It's like,
yeah, absolutely. You know, then whoever wins gets to take the wife home for the night.
What were you saying, Bill?
Oh, I was saying Dave Goggins had a whole thing with Sean Strickland too. And Dave Goggins is not an MMA fighter.
No,
he's just a great athlete. But he's like, I'll fight Sean Strickland. People are like, what? And then people are like standing for Dave Goggins online. Like, Dave Goggins kick his ass.
Dave Goggins would not last.
Oh, no. That's how stupid people are. That's how fucking stupid people are. God damn. That's what kind of sport does he do?
Nothing. He's the guy that was a Marine that or Navy SEAL, and he lost like 200 pounds, and he runs like 80 miles a day, and he's super. He's on Rogan a lot. He seems super uplifting and motivational, but for some reason, Tony Ferguson hired him to train him for this fight. But he's never had a fight before, and he doesn't realize. So he has Tony Ferguson doing these like crazy drills on the treadmill trying to break him. But dude, this is not, you're not training for a marathon here, and we're not training for combat either. You're training
no.
It's like you know, it's right. it's like when you gotta train.
You gotta train sport specific, you know, for whatever the fuck you're doing. You need to you have your conditioning, which you can do anything and everything, but then you gotta train sport specific for what the hell you're doing. You get that muscle memory.
It's like when James Toney hired a weapons specialist to train him for Randy Couture. it's like he's not bringing a weapon. The octagon, like that was hilarious.
That's the thing. Nobody respects the sport because they don't understand it. You
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
And I mean,
so Bill, what do you got coming up?
What do I have coming up? Well, I have every Wednesday 8 p.m. Laugh Factory. I've been pushing this like Bassman Law Reeves thing. My big episode came out Sunday. My part was completely cut. So happy holidays for that. And yeah, that's about it.
Don, what do you got coming up?
Oh, you know, I've got several things coming up, but I can't remember right now. Because I was too busy concentrating on this podcast.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'm at the LA Comedy Club at the Strat tonight through Sunday. And then I'm in Houston on the 28th and 29th of December at the Comedy something. It's on adamhuntercomedy.com. You guys are great. Love you guys. Have a good week.
See you, man.